Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Lincoln.
What did we just watch?
I don't know. What did we just watch?
We watched the movie Life.
Yeah, we watched Life.
It was
fine.
I liked it, but I'm very on the fence about this one.
Yeah, I liked it. It was very generic for the most part. Not in a bad way. Like, we've seen it all before, but sometimes that's good, I guess. It was enjoyable. I don't regret watching it. It's a very forgettable film, I think.
It was like when Slayer came out with World Painted Blood, and I listened to it, and I was like, well, this is Slayer. It's good. There's nothing crazy. This is not like a South of Heaven.
But this is like, if this were to come on TV, I don't know that I would stop and watch it. Be like, oh, I remember that movie, and I'd flip past it.
I think because it does a lot of things very well, but the overall concept...
Is not original. It's alien.
Yeah, to the point where it is just...
It's alien.
It's alien. However, the one thing that really sealed it to me of where I do like it...
The very end,
because I thought that was very good. So, I'm going to go ahead and talk about spoilers of Life.
That sounds so deep. Here are the spoilers of Life. Well, Krispy Kreme is Life.
I'd never want you to say that ever again. I would still recommend a watch. It's a good watch.
I recommend it. I wouldn't necessarily recommend going to the theater to watch it. Maybe wait till it's on DVD.
Because I know it's like an IMAX, but I'm not sure why it would be...
Because of space and people will go.
Has a lot of Gravity-esque scenes in it.
The end is very reminiscent of Gravity.
I thought it was the end of Gravity. So, Life, gonna run through it real quick.
Every time we say that, we go an hour. You just jinx us every fucking time.
So Life is Alien. It's the premise of Alien.
100%, yeah.
Not 100%, but...
Pretty
close.
Pretty damn close.
They are getting...
Is the character named Ripley?
I cannot remember anybody's name.
Ryan Reynolds, Calvin, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Lou Bloom. He's Lou Bloom. In my head canon, he is Lou Bloom from Nightcrawler.
I just remember the name Calvin.
Yeah. So they...
We did actually technically watch this a couple days ago. Spoiler.
Yes.
Lincoln and I, we're just busy. So.
Well, this was kind of a...
We wanted to watch another movie with it, which if you clicked on this, it's obviously watched another movie.
Yes.
Unless you don't read, which why don't you read?
Life wasn't necessarily a planned one. It was one that we talked about seeing, but we didn't know if we could fit it in.
And then after we saw Power Rangers, we went, by God, we have to watch another movie.
Yeah, I need to cleanse myself. And I'd seen the trailer for Life, and it looked like something that would be interesting.
It looked like what we got.
Yeah.
We weren't
shocked. Yeah, I'm not shocked by what I just watched by any means. You know, they're in kind of an ISS kind of...
It's not kind of, it is.
Do they call it the ISS?
Yeah, okay. They are on the space
station. See, I didn't know if they actually called it the ISS.
No, they absolutely did.
Okay, so they're in the ISS, and it's multiple scientists that are studying these soil samples from Mars that have bioorganisms in them.
Well, they didn't know that.
Well, they find out that there is, in fact, life on Mars. So they take...
Just a little amoeba-looking thing.
And they're able to bring it back to life. And it starts to grow a little bit. And he just wants to be friends.
No.
He just wanted to be friends with them.
No, he doesn't.
I want to talk about the things that happened in Life that were very good.
Okay. Then can we talk about the things that weren't so good?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to get my accolades out of the way. I loved that Ryan Reynolds died immediately because that set a very good tone for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Of, hey, the big actor.
That you just assumed was going to be there at the end, which we did.
Yes.
Was not.
And I really liked his death scene. I wish it was more gory. It was gory, but it was not.
There's a lot of implied gore in this.
Yes. Which is fine because a lot of it's kind of the in-body horror of things.
I think it works. It worked for the film, yeah.
I don't know. I just want a little more kick to it.
Because if they had too much blood, then the CGI blood floating would have... I mean, it looked pretty bad when we saw it, I thought.
I didn't think the blood looked bad.
See, I thought it did.
I didn't think it looked that bad.
I mean, not as bad as something else looked.
Well, I just wanted a little more punch. A little more punch, a little visceral gore punch a little bit. For a body horror-esque movie that doesn't really have that much creature horror, I would have... enjoy, because it was more so body horror than it was anything else.
Like, to me, one of the things with the movie was that it jumps right into the action, really.
And I liked that. The pacing was very well.
I did, but I wouldn't say that, because the last half, I think, or the second act really slows down.
I didn't have a problem with it. I was okay with the pacing.
Well, I didn't have a problem with it overall, but... I didn't feel like they really gave you time to be invested in the characters and really care about them.
True. You only really get invested in a couple of characters. One of which they want you to get invested in, which is Lou Bloom.
And I never did.
And it sucks because it's just the character's bad. It wasn't that Jake Gyllenhaal was bad. Because Jake Gyllenhaal's fantastic in every role that he's in. He played the role that he had correctly, but the character just didn't have anything to him. There's no meat.
A lot of the characters are very one-dimensional.
The character I really liked was the disabled scientist.
I liked him a lot.
He was very fleshed out.
And I liked Dojin, whatever his name was in the movie.
Yeah, he was fine. I mean, he's great.
I love that man.
He's so good.
Ugh.
Yeah, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal's character, he's supposed to be kind of like a troubled PTSD kind of character that wants to be in space basically forever because he's so kind of traumatized by what he's dealt with on Earth, where he just completely wants to be completely away from Earth.
But other than him saying that, doesn't really play into it too much.
Plays into when he's having his
doctor's
checkup and stuff, and they're talking about the detriments to his health.
See, I don't think it plays into it.
It doesn't play into it.
It's just him stating his character.
Another thing, a little
bit of character depth would have been good in this.
Another thing I liked that turns into a dislike
is
the creature design.
I love the creature design at the beginning.
Yes.
When it was this small little like lotus looking thing.
I liked, it was a small lotus, then it turns into this tentacle monster that looks like Shuma-Gorath.
It just looks like a dragonfly.
And it was cool. I really liked it.
I wish it didn't have a face.
That's the issue. When it gets the face...
When it gets to its fullest in the movie, it just looks really fake, and it has a face.
I just don't know why it would have a face, because the biology of the creature is that it's all muscle, it's all, like, eyes, and it's all brain.
What? I have a lot of questions about the character.
So why would it have a head?
Well, it's a carbon-based life form, and it needs oxygen. How is it living on Mars?
Well, it wasn't living on Mars.
They found it in the soil.
But it wasn't alive, remember? They were able to bring it back to life by...
How did it get on Mars?
Well, I think what they're assuming is that those life forms have stayed on Mars for years, and that's how, like, life started on Earth, because things like that. That's what I got from it. Okay. Because remember, when he basically brings it back to life, he makes it, like, early Earth kind of atmosphere.
That's true. Yeah, that's
and then it comes back to life.
Okay. I have another question about Calvin. The creature's name is Calvin. Because they do a really good exposition scene of kids asking
questions. I thought that was fantastic.
And just really laid out everything you really needed to know. What was the motivation of Calvin? What is the end goal of this creature?
Well... I wish that it needed to be more mindless, I think.
It was very smart.
It was very smart, and I'm okay with that, but...
But why is it... It's so smart that it solely wants to kill the creatures it's never seen before.
Here's the thing, you could say the same thing about alien xenomorphs. I just wanted it to be more mindless. I don't know, it's weird.
See, alien you could almost justify, though. It uses one just as a breeding tool.
Yeah.
And then they're like, fuck you, we have guns, we're gonna shoot at you. And it's like, oh, hell no, it's on.
Well, if you think about this, if you're talking about, like, why did it start attacking them, remember, when it did get brought back to life, it was being hit with voltages of electricity, which then it would immediately go into defense mode against. And then when it realizes, oh, these things are trying to hurt me, and I need sustenance, I'm just gonna eat them.
I mean, this thing knew how to use tools.
Did know how to use tools.
I mean, there's a lot of questions for this thing that's from prehistoric Mars. Like, it knows how to use tools. It outsmarts them at the end. It wasn't very consistent, I didn't think, in the creature's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Or its end goal. Like, what is its end goal?
Well, I think really... Because the only time that they talk about...
Does it just survive to kill?
And that's kind of what they imply, is that it's just a thing that is trying to live. Which I think you don't really need that much. I think that's fine as a creature.
I think you could have dealt if there was more. Maybe asexually breeded and there's more creatures.
I don't know, because then we're getting way too into alien territory. If it needed to use the bodies to breed.
I'm just thinking, like, what is its end goal?
And also...
It killed everybody on the space station. Then what?
It'll probably just die.
Yeah, what was this point then?
Maybe it's smart
Can
enough.
Can it fly the ship?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Maybe it gets its little hands over the ship things.
I mean, it worked, but you know, it's one of those, if you really think about it. I'm like,
yeah. Well, since we're already talking about negative stuff, so I'll go ahead and talk about the...
Calvin Vision?
Well, we can talk about Calvin Vision.
That was fucking terrible.
They decided to do this thing that we can only call Calvin vision, of where you're supposed to be seeing what Calvin is seeing in first person. And it looks like, okay, people probably don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about the game Geist that was on GameCube.
Who would fucking remember Geist?
I apparently remember that game. It is the exact same first person vision when you're a ghost. Go look it up on YouTube. It's the exact same thing.
It's Damnation vision.
Yeah, it's exactly like that too. It really bad.
Looked like Lisa Frank just vomited on the thing's eyes. It looked terrible. It didn't fit the movie, because to me the movie was set in a very realistic manner, because they use real science. They do, maybe not real science, honestly.
Well,
it didn't go the route of they have machine guns on the space station. Like, they used what was at their disposal. They used their brains to try to outsmart it. They used common sense approaches, and I liked that a lot. But then you have this comical Evil Dead cam with, like, light filters
over
it.
Yeah, Evil Dead cams, actually. Yeah, that is what it is.
And they did it a lot.
Way too much.
I did not enjoy that.
Yeah.
I did enjoy the sound design.
Mm-hmm. Thought it was great.
Especially when they would close the doors and Calvin just thump, thump. I don't know what that, I laughed every time they did it.
Yeah,
he's smart enough to use a tool, though. He can't open a fucking door.
Well, going into, there are two very large plot holes that I have with this movie.
Okay.
And normally, I'm not a huge stickler for plot holes as much as I am for, like, Dutch angles and stuff. But when it kind of takes me out of the movie, it's not good. So, the Russian that suffocates outside.
She was Russian.
Okay. So she was closing it because she knew she was going to die.
She didn't want to let Calvin back in.
Yes. Why didn't she kick off of that and go into space?
Because it wouldn't have been as dramatic of a shot in the movie.
So the other plot hole I have, because that's really the biggest one, because...
Really? I mean, is that a plot hole? Because even if she did it, Calvin still would have jumped off.
How would he jump? They never established...
He did.
Did he jump?
Yes. When she started to float away, he jumped off and back onto the ship.
That's right.
It was smart enough to realize it would die out there.
Anyways, I just assumed that she would do that.
I love how, too, they tried to deprive it of oxygen inside after they already saw it outside the ship just fine. Probably doesn't need that much oxygen.
Well, it took... They said that it needed to take a while for it to, like, suffocate outside.
For something that really needs oxygen, you go out into space and see how long it takes you.
So the second one, okay, it's when it's, like, first, when they're first trying to contain it, and they're shutting the locks, the air pressure locks, there is no way that station does not have a failsafe to lock all of them at once.
Oh, no.
There is no possible way in the universe.
They couldn't even turn the thrusters all on at the same time.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, the thrusters, they were trying to conserve fuel, so it made sense.
But
No.
I'm sorry, that was just poor. It just took me out. Because they specifically had to explain that they couldn't turn them all off at the same time.
How long have these people been on this space station?
Well, Lou Bloom has been there for a year.
Yeah, with the other people.
Was it really...
I mean, did she bring the copy of Goodnight Moon just because the guy was going to have a baby at some point?
Well, yeah, they probably knew that ahead of time. So it would have been maybe like 6 months, something like that. So yeah, the creature design, it just kind of jumps the shark at the end because...
It looks not very good. We joked that it was a prequel to Godzilla and it was just a Muto.
Yeah. I just don't know what the head was supposed to be.
If you're going to have a creature that looks like that, don't put it in, like, pure light. Keep it in shadow.
Yeah, I would have been okay with it.
You know, going back to Alien, it looks amazing in the movie, right? Have you seen the same thing in full light?
Oh, yeah.
It's a dude in a rubber suit.
Have you actually seen the suit before?
Yeah.
It is not scary looking.
No, it looks ridiculous.
In person, the suit is not terrifying.
No, so it's, you know, use lighting.
Yeah, the one thing that really saved life for me, other than... Because, like, I didn't hate the movie for what it was. It was just kind of...
It was nothing special.
It was nothing special.
There's nothing memorable in this film.
I have three things I think were awesome. Ryan Reynolds' death scene, because it was like, I think it was really, really well done. Especially when, like, his eyes are turning black and everything.
Yeah.
Wow, it was brutal.
I thought they were going to do the chest burster thing, because he kept looking down.
Yeah.
I was like, don't just automatically rip it off right
the
away.
Second thing that I really, really liked was a very smart use of the scientist's disability, of where he was paralyzed, and Calvin was... No, we'll talk about Kevin in a minute. Yeah. Oh, we're going to talk about Kevin. Is like sucking the blood out of his leg, and he doesn't realize it, and they can't find where Calvin is, and then eventually passes out, and they find him there. Fucking awesome. And the ending, I thought was great.
I did too. I wish they would have edited down a certain part so I didn't figure it out.
It's weird because I thought that this movie, because it was going so kind of by the books, that the ending really did throw me off because I just didn't
think. Well, you know, because I leaned over you and I was like, they're stretching this out too long. This is what's happening. So basically, Jake Gyllenhaal, they have two escape pods. Jake Gyllenhaal's like, I will lure the monster into one with me, and you get in the other one, you go back to Earth, I will fight this and steer it off into space and we will die. This is where the creature's really fucking smart.
So they get into the pods and they go off, and you see, you know, he's fighting the creature and everything, and then you see the pod gets hit by like a small asteroid, and
it's part of the ship.
Yeah, and it completely shoots off course, you know, exactly like he's trying to do. And so you see the one pod, you know, it's going out, and he's fighting the alien, trying to get the controls and everything.
And then you see another pod become a cartoon and fall into the ocean.
Oh, that was really bad. Oh, I don't know why that was so bad. It was like Resident Evil 3 Nemesis CGI. Damn, we're killing it with video game references today. So it slides into the water, and it's exactly like Gravity.
Yeah, and then it shows this boat of fishermen taking quite a long time. We're traveling with them up to the pod. And that's why I leaned over and I said, it's not her. Like, they're taking too long.
And I was like,
reveal.
No, this is just like Gravity. They're just milking.
They look in the pod. They see Jake Gyllenhaal still alive. The monster's in there. It's like, fill the fucking ship. This is where I thought it was smart. It didn't automatically kill Jake Gyllenhaal.
Nope.
Because to me, it was smart enough to realize somebody needs to open the door. If they see a person, they will open it. And then it cuts to her just screaming as she barrels off into space.
Fucking awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
I really, really liked it. Because just the, oh God, her screaming. It was just so,
if they would have edited down those fishermen coming up, because it ruined the impact for me.
I was just expecting the Gravity ending.
But there was just such a build, and I'm like, there's no way it's her now. They're taking too long on this reveal. This is a big reveal they're making. I'm like, it's Jake Gyllenhaal.
I wish that there was more with the creature, because at the end, like, Jake Gyllenhaal, it looks like in Alien when they put people that they have impregnated on the walls with alien spit. It looks exactly like that, where it's like become just like this nest. I wish there was more of that.
Yeah, I wish there was more downtime, the alien, because it's just...
It's pretty constant of you seeing it and it killing people.
I wanted more character development. That's why I was like, it looked cool, but when I really think about it, I'm like, I didn't care. I mean, it was enjoyable to
cared
what
about,
I was seeing.
Yeah, I cared about two characters and that was the most. It's not like, you know, Alien with Ripley.
You really cared. Yeah. Like, you liked all of them. They all had distinct personality. Or is this like, they're all fodder?
So it wasn't terrible.
It wasn't great. It's what I expected.
I enjoyed it.
Honestly, it's the best we could ask for. Mm-hmm. If you see the trailer, you look at it and be like, I've seen this movie 500 times.
Yeah.
And you really have.
I saw the trailer and I was like, ooh, this looks interesting. I think it's just going to be Alien.
Yeah, it really
is. If anything looks like Alien, I will watch it.
It doesn't always mean it's good.
Kyle, what do you want to give?
I'm going to give it an even 5. I think it was average.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 5.8.
Said I don't regret seeing it, but I probably won't watch it again. I wish it would have stayed a small creature.
It would have been better if it was just a small creature.
It just looks
throughout.
So stupid.
Or if it multiplied to multiple small creatures. There's just a lot that you could have done with the creature.
Well, if they're following the alien, maybe the sequel will be called Lives.
Also, before we talk about our other movie, isn't it a stretch to immediately say that this thing's going to wipe out mankind, though?
That's really what the movie's implying.
Because that's what she says to, like, the black box, is this cannot go to Earth because it's going to wipe out mankind. I'm like, hold the phone.
We don't know how it holds up to, like, a bullet. We know it can sustain fire.
Yeah, but what's it going to do with a bullet, and what's it going to do with, like, let's say it does go to Earth, and it wipes out, like, Vietnam or something, because that's where they were speaking Vietnamese. What if they just nuked it? What happens? Probably gonna die. It is a nuke.
I don't know.
There's many questions, because I believe that this is a prequel to a Godzilla movie, and we will find out.
I feel like if it does well, there will be a sequel.
Do you think they're really gonna do a sequel? It could be kind of cool, though, because if they have just like the end of it, of where he's like cocooned in the pod, I thought was really cool, because it shows that maybe there was more that they wanted to do with this creature that they just didn't or couldn't.
Or maybe this was just an homage to
Alien
movies they loved. I mean, we thought at some point it was gonna have a Thing vibe, because it crawls into Ryan Reynolds' mouth.
Well, and then he makes the Reanimator reference, and I thought that was gonna come back.
Yeah, it didn't.
We'll see.
He's just fucking dead.
I mean, if they make a sequel, I'll see it.
Yeah, I'll see it. I don't know that it's made
it's
for a
It's probably
sequel.
Not going to have a
it's
sequel.
It's probably not going to do that well in the box office, in all honesty.
I forget. I was going to look at it, but I don't remember.
Because for what it was, it's this visually had to have a pretty high budget.
I know Gravity sucked, though, so.
Yeah, it looked really pretty.
Gravity sucked my balls.
Yeah, it was all right. I heard so much about it, I bought it on Blu-ray, and I was like.
Did you buy it on Blu-ray?
I had never seen it.
I think I was like, maybe.
And I was like, yeah.
Kyle, let's go ahead and talk about Gravity. I think maybe the reason why that I didn't like Gravity was because I didn't see it in IMAX. I honestly think
if I would have saw it in the theater, I didn't. I saw it in my living room. I would have saw it in the theater, just even a regular theater. I think I would might appreciate it more.
Yeah, because my mom really wanted to see it when it
first
came
out. Did you see
it
here in town?
No, I saw it when it came out on Blu-ray.
Okay. So we saw it with not, like, mm-hmm. no surround. Like, I think if we saw it good sound.
I had surround sound on, but I don't have like.
You
don't have
IMAX surround
sound. Yeah, exactly. I don't have like IMAX surround sound. You've seen my fucking speakers in my living room.
Yeah, so.
Nothing crazy.
I think like life, I think, would have a much different feel in IMAX.
Yeah.
I'm just not a big fan of IMAX. I don't think it's worth the money.
Also, what was with George Clooney's character in Gravity?
Put asses in seats.
He didn't really like doing it. I didn't like Sandra Bullock either that much.
Ryan Reynolds is in Life. He didn't really do anything.
Oh, yeah. This
he
is
put
true.
Asses in seats.
He is on the poster.
He's top billed on poster.
Is he top billed?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought Jake Gyllenhaal was top billed.
I will look like an idiot here because I'm using the probably use the poster as the part for this.
Yeah, we'll find
He's on the poster, though, because that's who sells. If you put Rebecca, whatever her name is, if it was even Rebecca, like anyone other than him and Jake Gyllenhaal on there, this would have never hit a theater. We would have never got that movie here.
Honestly, Gravity was more scary to me than this because I don't know if we've ever really talked about it. I'm fucking super terrified of like space.
You're terrified of something that you'll never encounter.
Exactly.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever
heard. It's just like the idea, and that's why like Alien freaked me the fuck out when I was younger, is just because like the idea of just like being in space. It's terrifying. Why would anybody want to do
that? We are complete opposites.
Who the fuck wants to go to space? It's terrible.
Did I never tell you about the thing I signed up for?
Oh, didn't you sign up for the Mars thing?
The Mars One project. Yeah, I missed the deadline, but.
Not going to happen. I am not going into space.
I would love to. Yeah.
Nope. It's terrifying.
I don't really like flying, though.
There's nothing out there. There's just death. It is just vacuum death. There's xenomorphs.
Xenomorphs
aren't
real.
Asteroids.
Asteroids are real. We just spin in a circle and shoot them and you'll be fine.
Nope. Not happening. My head fucking pops like a little popsicle. You know when you get those little popsicles in the sleeves for a dollar at Walmart and then you like squeeze them too hard because you're like, God damn, I want that grape juice. And they fucking pop out.
No, I've never. I'm not a fucking animal.
So anyways, I hated Gravity. How we also saw another movie.
We did. We saw Moonlight, finally.
Because we were really hoping that it was going to come here because La La Land came here.
We were hoping that once it won the Best Picture Award, it would come here.
Yes.
It did not.
Did not.
So we checked it out at our local library.
Shocking.
Please support your local library.
Yeah, because they're on it with movies. Yeah. Well, not necessarily this one, but I know that a lot of the public libraries, like in Indianapolis and stuff, get like every big movie that comes.
Mm-hmm.
Why
free.
Do people not go to the fucking library?
Because they're fucking dumb. They're sitting at home on Netflix. They don't want to leave their house. They don't read.
You can go to the library. You can get a book.
Yeah. Oh, that's why they don't go. They're not reading. But anyway, Moonlight. Holy fuck.
Moonlight was incredible. Absolutely breathtaking.
One of the most emotionally, not draining, but.
No, not draining.
There was one scene we'll get to that, like, if I was watching alone, I would have paused it afterwards and taken a break. Because it hit me right in the fucking feels. Straight in the fucking feels. Once I realized it did, it pissed me off that people are talking about they're crying the goddamn Power Rangers scene.
Here's the thing about Moonlight. I am not going to tell you the plot of Moonlight because I don't want to. Because.
It's a hard thing. You need to watch it.
Yes.
I mean, really.
Because the thing is that I know.
We're going to compare it to a movie and you're going to immediately think
we're
liars. Well,
yeah, I'm going to get into that. A thing that I know some people that do that listen to us is that you just kind of listen to our summary of a movie and you don't actually go out and watch it unless it's something that kind of like really piques your interest. And I really think you need to watch this, so I don't want to talk about the plot.
Well, if we break down the plot just us talking about it, it's going to sound boring. I mean, it's life,
mm-hmm.
not the movie Life.
Yeah.
It's like IRL stuff.
So please you know, I'm going to, because I am going to talk about major plot things, but please do yourself a favor and don't listen to the rest of us. Well, listen to it later. And
don't
please
tell people not to listen to this.
I mean, like,
idiot.
Give us a little pause. Go to your local library. Check out a copy of Moonlight.
If you're lucky enough to have a video store, go there.
And watch it because, you know, it's very deserving of the Best Picture. I mean, I haven't seen La La Land.
It was very deserving of its nomination. Yes. We can't say that it was deserving.
I can't say it was deserving of the actual win.
Can't say it was the best of the year, but if we would have watched this last year, it would have been, I think, both of our best pictures of the year.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so let's talk about Moonlight. Again, I'm not doing a plot breakdown, but know that there are spoilers because I'm going to talk about certain things.
So should we just get to the comparison?
Yeah, okay, so this...
This is Boyhood if Boyhood were good.
Yeah.
If Boyhood had real actors and you cared about them.
Boyhood was a cohesive story.
Well, if it was a story.
Yeah. If Boyhood actually had a main character that you really cared about.
Like, we were actually yelling at another character at the end. Like, legitimately, like, I think it started as joking.
Oh.
There was one point where we were like.
Oh, it became real.
It became very real. Because we didn't want to see the main character get hurt anymore.
Yeah, you'd seen him throughout his entire life. And you just didn't.
This is a movie where we literally yelled at my TV. I don't know if we've ever done that.
Have we ever done that? I don't think we
Not
have.
With a good movie.
No, because like, there's like Shark Exorcist where I'm just going, oh, come the fuck on.
I think it was Blair Witch. I yelled in the theater.
Yes, I believe it was.
Fuck that movie.
Moonlight is all about the main character named Chiron, who lives in Miami.
Starts in Miami, yeah.
Starts in Miami, and it chronicles three major phases of his life. One, his childhood. Second, kind of his teenage adolescence. And then the final is, what'd you say? It was kind of like... Mid-20s.
Yeah, I would say around there.
And it just chronicles this...
Yeah, because he said it had been about 10 years.
Late 20s in the third part. And we have the main character who is a gay man who lives in a very bad part of town. Projects, essentially. And he gets taken in by a drug dealer who subsequently is dealing to his mother.
His mom is, a big drug addict throughout the movie. Not a good home life for him.
And it's showing... his life. And one thing that I really loved was the use of water.
Mm-hmm.
Water symbolism in this movie was so great, of where it was used as every time that a sea change was happening with Chiron, there was images of water, because water was kind of symbolizing like rebirth and like growth. And
or even as simple as that's like his first that we see positive thing that somebody did for him was teaching him to swim.
Oh God, I'm trying to pronounce his name. Mahershala Ali.
It's fine.
He was so great. And
who wasn't great in this?
There is not a... And I'm talking every single character that we see in this movie. There is not a single one that was not believable.
That's what made this movie so impactful is... I didn't feel like I was watching a movie at all.
Felt
like
not at all.
A documentary. Not that it was shot that way, but I truly felt like I was following
Jesus Christ. Yeah,
person's life.
You could have like fucking chronicled this. You could have titled this like a documentary, and I would have.
I would have bought it.
It's that real. It's like that visceral, and it's
nothing felt scripted. Maybe it wasn't in parts. I don't know.
I don't see. Here's the thing. My mother taught in a very predominantly hard school in Indianapolis, and I was there quite a bit. And the thing that struck me with this is how everything is so authentic with how people talk. Mm-hmm. Like kind of like the slang, the mannerisms. It's stuff that I've seen in the inner city. And at no point did it feel forced. It never felt like that these people were actors. It was fucking amazing.
This is only the director's second feature-length film.
It's just like, how do you literally get every single character right?
Everyone. Extras in the background at school. Everyone.
Extras in the diner at the end of the movie. Everything. Like, how is this a thing that happened? And I just, God, the cinematography was fantastic. One of the big scenes I was really kind of talking about while it was happening, about how great it was when he's teaching, they're calling him Little at the beginning, right?
Little, yeah. The chapters were Little, Chiron, and Black.
And he's teaching him how to swim. It's Juan, or how do they pronounce his name? The Mahershala Ali's character?
I don't remember.
Because I know it's spelled like Juan, and they only said it like once or twice. and I wasn't sure what the pronunciation. I'm not sure. I'm just going to call him Juan. It could be wrong.
But whatever. I know. I don't think it was Juan.
So Juan is like teaching him how to swim. And what they're doing is that you see the waves lapping up against the camera. And then when the waves lap up and completely envelop the camera, then it completely goes to a different point of view. And I thought it was expertly done and absolutely fantastic and gave so much movement to the entire scene.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was kind of like circling them as he's teaching him.
A lot of circle shots. But they work. They're not like M. Night, not knowing what he's doing.
And the lighting was fantastic in all the one scene that I thought
soundtrack
the lighting
was really good.
Yeah. One scene that the lighting was absolutely fantastic is the reoccurring image of where his mom's yelling at him in the hallway.
The Shining scene?
Oh my God. It's so great.
It's what it made me think of the way they cut it. It's made like the camera shots when it would just be him, like when he was covered in blood just standing there.
Well, there's also this really cool thing that they do where in a lot of scenes, it's pulled focused on him. And in the background, it's like blurry and almost like a kaleidoscope kind of. And it's so cool. I don't know how else to explain it. It's really cool looking because it worked as a stylistic choice instead of
just pulling focus.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah. There was a reason for it. And
your description
worked.
Is just like they used like a zoom and it was amazing.
I was trying to artistically.
They autofocused and blew my fucking mind. I'm just saying the way you were describing it. If you haven't seen it, it's utterly ridiculous.
Yeah. It's hard to explain. I don't know. They kept things out of focus and normally I'd be like, why the fuck is that not in focus? But this, it was like an artistic thing and it made sense.
It made sense.
It fit the mood.
Something they did two or three times in the movie as well was they show a POV of a person talking to our main character. You hear them talking, you don't see it because it's not about what they're saying. It's the emotion they're showing and the emotion they're having. Thought it was like the first time it happened, I thought the DVD fucked up. I won't lie.
Yeah.
But the second time I'm like, okay, I get it. Yeah. That was...
Well, there was also when they were talking and then it would slowly drown out and like there's huge like noise, like white noise would start happening. And then it would just like immediately cut to just silence. I thought that was really, really cool. You want to talk about the scene?
That just made us go silent for like 15 minutes?
I was like, holy shit.
It's when he's in his adult life and he goes to see his mom in rehab or wherever she's at. I'm assuming it's rehab or a...
Well, he has like a visitor.
It could be a low security prison, but I assume it's rehab because she's outside. And it's just a heart-to-heart, her apologizing for everything she did wrong and talking about how she loved him. But where it got is she's like, you don't have to love me.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there for you when you needed me. Because he got bullied all the time, got beaten up. She treated him like crap because of his money.
At a very young age, he, you know, realizes that he's gay and a lot of people around him realize that he's gay. So it's just like from the get-go of him like 10 years old, you know.
Just being treated horribly. But yeah, where it got is when she said like, I don't deserve your love, you don't have to love me. And then he had that single tear.
It's just like, this is so great.
It's so visceral and real and it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But uplifting.
Mm-hmm. Because he does at that point kind of begin again with her.
Yeah.
With loving her again. Because she's at a point where she understands how much that she's hurt him. Because at the end of this movie, it is all about like his rebirth. It's all about him fixing thing loose ends that needed to be fixed.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's kind of open ended one of them.
Okay, so
can we talk about the chair when he laid out the kid with the chair?
I was like, which chair do you want to talk about?
Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
So yeah, during the high school part, it's heartbreaking.
Well, his friend Kevin.
So his friend Kevin that we see, you know, because Kevin also is the kind of second main character.
He's been there at every point. He's been his one friend.
And they, one night, Chiron goes to the beach because that's also a pretty central point in the movie.
It's one place where he feels
safe. Secure, yeah, because it's, you know, when he learned how to swim and everything, that was just like a pivotal role of like, somebody loves me. And he's on the beach and his friend Kevin comes up and after they smoke a blunt of that fire, as Kevin says.
Oh, you love the water. I'm going to make you love the fire. That's the one line that really stood out in the movie because I'm like, everything's been so natural. No one talks like that.
I don't know, though, because...
I guess it depends, like, the time frame and the era of this, because, like, 90s stoner talk, you got it. I don't know when, like...
It didn't sound... Okay,
here's... They didn't date the movie.
It didn't sound that out of character for me.
I've
heard someone say something like that, that's that fucking stupid.
Okay, it was dumb. It sounded dumb. So maybe it's realistic, but it was still dumb.
I think that that was realistic. I've heard something like that before. It was
okay, it was silly.
And he has his first gay experience.
This is his first experience with anyone.
Yeah, where Kevin releases him by the water. Because water is also used as like kind of like a release. Because every time that there's a release, there's water.
You act like his movies is full of releases.
Well, there's the... what
you made used... release a sexual term now, so now you need to like clarify your other releases.
Okay, so when Chiron ejaculates, you hear ocean waves.
Well, because they're at the ocean.
Yes. But here's the thing, though. You hear that multiple times throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying that it was used.
As, yeah.
Yeah.
We could, yeah.
Aren't we on the same page?
Yeah.
We good?
We already talked about the
water. We good about talking ejaculation?
Come on, Jesus Christ.
And so he, you know, has his first experience like that with Kevin. And you can tell, you know, that Chiron, you know, really cares for Kevin and vice versa. However, Kevin is friends with this dick who has
just
been...
just a true piece of shit.
Yeah, right? Just has been bullying Chiron forever. And they have this game that they called like Knockdown, I think is what it was called.
Like Knockdown, Keep Down or something like that. Knockdown, Hold Down.
Of where the guy with dreads tells Kevin, go knock someone out. And then Kevin does it. And that's pretty much the extent of this game.
Mm-hmm.
And he chooses Chiron. And Kevin does it. And that scene is absolutely heartbreaking. Because, yeah, when it's just Chiron and it's just the zoom in on his face of where he just keeps getting up, just like...
And Kevin's just pleading with him to stay down. Just stay down.
And Chiron, you know, is just like, you've committed to it. Like, yep. Yeah. Absolutely heartbreaking.
And they stomp the, just stomp him.
And then Chiron retaliates in a fit of anger and rage. And
walks in the classroom, grabs a chair, cracks it across the back of the dude. Just lays him out.
And then that is, yeah, that's the end of the
he gets arrested.
Yeah.
He gets put in the back of a cop car. Boom, he's an adult.
Another thing that they don't talk about, which I kind of thought was a negative at first, but now I think it was smart, where you do not see, you don't know what happened to Juan.
But at the end of the day, does it matter?
It doesn't.
What matters is the impact he, the positive impact he had.
And not, that's why I really like that choice.
Not the negative. Because I like to think that, because he's a kid and he asks him if he sells drugs and he's honest with him.
Mm-hmm.
He says, my mom does drugs, and he's honest. And the kid just walks out. Does he have contact with him after that? Are they as close?
Well, he has contact with his girlfriend.
With her, but mm-hmm. does he with...
Yeah, there's a lot of questions with it, but...
Does he change? Because, I mean, he breaks down crying. This kid that looked up to him, he was honest with him and told him he's not a good person, really.
I mean, does Juan, honestly, I could see it of him changing and just, like, cutting contact with Chiron.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
And maybe he continues what he does, but he just doesn't want Chiron to know about it or anything. There's just there's so much up in the air.
That you didn't... It wasn't needed.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in this that we just didn't need, and I was okay with that.
Yeah, so you never know if he... stop dealing drugs. You don't know if he moved away. You don't know if he's in jail or if he's dead.
It wasn't his movie.
Exactly. And it doesn't matter.
No.
So the end of the movie, the part that I just want to talk about of me and Kyle screaming at the movie was because...
Fucking Kevin.
Fucking Kevin. Call... Booty calls up Chiron.
He didn't booty call.
I don't know. It was kind of like a...
We don't know. Yeah, I don't think it was a booty call.
Well, I don't think it was a booty call either. However, why you gotta call somebody in the middle of the night?
After like 10 years. They hadn't seen each other for 10 years.
And they just kind of want to reconnect, and this is where you realize that kind of Chiron is following in the footsteps of Juan, where he is in kind of like the drug dealing game. You see him with a gun.
Oh, he is 100% of the drug dealer.
Yeah,
I'm just kind of like,
well, I
no,
he's in the game is what I meant. And Kevin, you know, he wants to reconnect with Chiron, and so Chiron, you know, has the heart to heart with his mom, and at this point he realizes that he does want to reconnect with Kevin, because, you know, Kevin, only one that he
has ever been with,
yeah, you know, only person he'd ever remotely had, you know, any kind of attraction to and received it back.
Even friendship.
Yeah. Other than, you know, Juan and everything.
Yeah.
And so he drives from Georgia back to Miami to meet Kevin, and he basically kind of surprises Kevin at his place of work. And this is where it started getting rough, because
we didn't want him to get back together.
And it's just because I connected with Chiron so much.
We didn't want to see him get hurt.
Yeah. And guess what? In Boyhood, I wanted him to get hit by a car. This is the total opposite tones.
With this, we thought it's just a booty, you know, like there's no emotion. He just wants something.
Yeah.
We're like, don't do it.
Don't do
it. Don't do it. Change your life. Turn your life around.
So he goes there, and then I loved the scene.
Where he's making the food?
Well, where he's making the food, because that was so good of it showing, you know, how much care he was putting into the food.
It showed love in a scene of him just making food.
Yeah, Kevin, it still shows that he has feelings for Chiron after all these years. It's like The Notebook.
Yeah, a little bit.
And Kevin shows him the picture of his daughter. And then just like Chiron's reaction to it. And just we're just like, oh,
this is crippling.
No.
But at the same time, Kevin's getting him liquored up. He's like, you're staying at my place tonight. And we're like, don't you fucking do it. Don't. No. And they're standing in Kevin's apartment. And Chiron opens up. And we're like,
That scene was great, though. Yeah, Chiron just completely lays it out. Because, you know, with Kevin, the thing that's their relationship is that it's the only person that he's, like, sexually been with, but also, like, emotionally in any way, shape, or form. Because you don't see him really open up to anyone.
He doesn't talk much.
He doesn't open up. Again, this is just such a pivotal moment for him. Of after he kind of comes to forgive his mother, he comes to just lay it on the line with Kevin. Because even when they were like together afterwards, it was just kind of like a beat around the bush kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Of like, oh, that didn't really happen. You didn't actually do that. Chiron just flat out is like, I have not been with anybody since you, and you were the first person that ever did that. Kevin just kind of like gives him a look of just like understanding. And then it cuts to them outside. And
they were inside.
Were they inside? I thought they were outside.
They were inside.
It seems that they are getting back together.
See, I didn't get that at all. To me, it was just the bond was still there. That doesn't mean that they got it back together or did anything. They just rebonded. It's just him like with his head on the, you know, on Kevin's shoulder.
Mm-hmm. I like that open-endedness.
I guess the way they looked at each other in that scene almost tells me like they're in different places, but it's still there. Like the care is still there. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's hard. And
I'm glad that we didn't get a yes or a no on.
Yeah, because I thought that it was Kevin understanding who he is.
If they go back together, then Sharon's an idiot because Kevin's just totally cheating on that Stephanie chick now that has his kid.
But did he really talk about that he was with Stephanie? Or did
he
they
said
just
her
have
several
a baby?
Times. Okay. Yeah.
I thought they just had a baby together.
I think they're together.
But there's no baby at the. Well, maybe there is a baby. It's never explained because you don't see
that's true
trying.
maybe they are split.
Yeah, that's what I got from it, especially because in his kitchen he has the photos that were drawn by his daughter. I thought that was kind of a implication that she was not there.
How's that an implication she's not there? He's saying if you had a kid in your house and they drew a picture, you would say fuck you, you live here, I'm not putting it on the fridge.
No, I'm just saying of how prominent it was and how it was in the shot.
Okay, in the shot. I thought you had just on his fridge.
No,
like,
no,
what
no,
kind
no.
of asshole
no,
dad
no, no,
would
no,
you
no,
be
no, no, no. In the shot of where you see the pictures, it's framed to where you want to
see,
look
I took
at them.
That as more it's just that constant reminder for us of like you might want this.
No.
I don't know. I like that it doesn't matter.
It doesn't, because what matters is that
this is the first time Chiron expressed his feelings.
Yeah,
and that's what mattered.
Yeah,
and he was
it doesn't matter
he
if
opened himself up
they
emotionally to somebody else and let them know it, and that's all that mattered.
And then the final shot of young Chiron looking back in the moonlight.
Brilliant.
Oh my god.
It's a very good movie.
Very good.
Very good movie.
I don't even want to say very good. This was absolutely captivating, breathtaking. I cannot talk about
how many people in our town would like this movie? Is it more than 10?
I think more than 10. I would say more than 10.
I don't know. You get past the race and the homosexuality, then you have the pace. If we live in small town.
Ooh, yeah. I thought you just meant content.
Small
matter.
Town Indiana. Like, it's
pace,
content-wise.
Probably not.
Content-wise, a lot of people will not give this movie a chance.
Yeah.
Much like Brokeback Mountain. Anything.
Mm-hmm.
They just won't.
Yeah, Brokeback Mountain was one that I was really upset about because
it's a really good movie.
It's absolutely fantastic.
So is this. This is just a movie about human emotion and its fucking realness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think people should watch it. If you didn't watch this and didn't like feel something, then I don't know what's wrong with you.
Moonlight makes Boyhood look like Gibby.
Fuck you, don't insult Gibby. Son of a bitch.
How many dollar dues you want to give Moonlight?
10.
10. Done.
Yep.
Easy.
I can't believe you insulted Gibby.
I'm just saying
the fuck
that if you compare hair. Boyhood. The abomination that is Boyhood.
And made it a good movie.
Yeah, if you took that and you actually made a character that you care about, you had real actors, you had them talk like they're real people.
So you're saying Gibby is one of that? How does a Gibby come into play?
I'm saying, because...
I don't know how... Gibby is neither Boyhood or Moonlight.
Moonlight makes Boyhood look like...
Like Richard Linklater actually went outside and talked to human beings.
That, yeah, yeah.
It's what Boyhood could have been.
It's, yeah, and it's what Boyhood should have been.
Not the same actor for each stage of life. It's not filmed like that.
We talked about Boyhood a lot since we realized that we didn't like it. but of just...
Because we feel guilty that we have a review out there saying we really liked it.
Yeah. Boyhood was too focused on the gimmick.
It was more about how it was made instead of what they were making.
Yeah. And this is all substance.
And I think that's why we enjoyed Boyhood at the time, because it was very clever. But you take a child actor and stick with them until they're older, that doesn't mean they're going to grow up to be a good actor.
Hey, how many roles has that kid gotten recently?
I don't know.
It's been zero.
That's been zero?
Maybe a couple. I have no idea.
Who cares?
Who cares? He's fucking stupid. He has an eyebrow piercing. I hate him.
He'll be in Boyhood too.
Another thing also is that even though Boyhood is unique and that it did one kid every single year, why does nobody talk about that documentary series that they did in Britain where they literally chronicle 50 years of kids' lives? Did you ever see that?
Because it's in Britain and it's a documentary.
But I'm just saying, of anything film related that's done something like that, everybody thinks that Boyhood's super revolutionary. When that documentary, it started in the 70s and just ended.
How many people watch a documentary versus how many people watch a film, a feature film?
True. Have you watched that documentary? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good.
But that's why.
Yeah.
People in general don't watch documentaries as much. Mm-hmm. I love documentaries. We're big nerds for them.
Oh, I have Tickled. We're going to watch Tickled. I mean, I don't know if we're going to talk about Tickled, but...
I think it'd be hard to do a documentary.
Yeah.
We once said we'd never do them, but we've broken half of those.
Yeah.
We'll never do a kids movie. We'll never do this.
So it might happen. It's just kind of hard with documentaries.
What can you say that they're not saying?
Yeah. I really like how that they showed this thing that happened in real life.
It's more just I think the review would boil down to, I agree or I disagree.
Mm-hmm. Kyle and I both watch a lot of documentaries.
And just stupid shit.
Don't you call Soam stupid.
You could say that because you've seen it. You talk shit about
Soam. Oh, yeah. If I wouldn't, yeah.
If I said that it got me to watch a documentary about wine tasting and it was amazing, why does that sound amazing? It doesn't.
No.
But it was.
Go watch Soam. I think it's still on Netflix. They have a sequel. I haven't watched
the sequel. And we watched the Penis Museum one.
Oh, my God. The Missing Piece? The Last
Member?
Or Last Month. Yeah. Oh, that was so good.
Fucking weird.
Oh, so great.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. There's one I've heard about on Netflix right now, The Summit, which I've heard is really good.
Oh, is that supposed to be good? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I love the algorithms ones.
They're
interesting.
I'm sure they're interesting. Really fucking interesting. I don't care about math. I hate math.
It's interesting.
I hope math gets abolished. I hope math gets put on a no-fly list.
You can't fly without math.
Gets burned, and every math book that has ever happened gets burned. Moonlight was great.
Moonlight was great. Lincoln's an idiot.